We present Geoffrey Matthews in Landfall, adapted by Stephen Grenfell from the novel by Neville Shute. Landfall.
Wars come, and all the world is shattered by their blast. But life goes on, and through it all, young people meet and marry. Small people of no great significance who are caught up and swept together in the great whirlwind of war.
I don't know what's the matter with this wretched bus. Won't go anymore.
Oh, yes, it will. Start it up again.
Well, try if you like, but I don't think it'll go.
Go on and start it.
Eh? It just won't go. It's the rain or something.
Well, I can get a bus from the corner.
No, don't go. There's a horse coming in a minute.
What horse?
A horse that's coming to tow us home.
What?
Yes, you can give it a lump of sugar if you like, but you must hold your hand flat. Otherwise, you lose a finger.
Whatever are you talking about?
A horse. You can stroke his nose if you like. I'll hold it for you.
Where are you going to get a horse from?
Now, don't panic. The horse will turn up. You've got to sit here for a little while and it'll come.
I'll sit here till the next bus comes.
All right. What's your name?
You want to know everything, don't you?
Well, it's not much to ask. You're going to spend a night with him and you won't even tell me your name.
Oh, I don't know what you mean.
Not so panic. It was you who said you'd stay here till the next bus came. Perhaps you've forgotten it's half an hour before midnight, my girl. There won't be any more buses till morning, so you've got to sit here all night. And that's why I do think you might maintain some semblance of the proprieties by telling me your name.
Oh, you do say the most awful things.
Oh, what have I done now? You've done nothing but pull me up all evening.
You know what you said, all right?
Now, look, sweetie, I asked you to tell me your name, and you weren't. Do you know what?
What?
I believe you're an enemy alien. I think I'll put the police on you.
I'll put the police on you if you don't take me home.
Well, a blackout. Right, a great war on and a bus like mine with a duff engine.
Well...
Now, look, I promise I'll take you home the minute the horse comes.
Oh.
In the meantime, I do think you might tell me who you are.
Well, you see me often enough.
Yeah, well, that's what's worrying me.
I know who you are.
Do you?
Oh, yes, you're from Emsworth Aerodrome. They call you Jerry, don't they?
Yeah, everybody calls me Jerry. How do you know that?
Never you mind. What's Jerry short for, Gerald?
No. Chambers. Roderick Chambers. But you may call me Jerry.
Oh, you do say horrid things.
Yeah, I know you said that. Tell me, what is your name? I've told you mine.
Oh, Mona. Mona Stevens.
Mona. That's a nice name.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, there aren't so many Monas about. It's better than being called Emily or something like that.
Where'd you work?
Oh, thank God.
Damn it, I am thinking. Ah, you aren't the old charwoman who cleans out my quarters, are you?
I'm certainly not.
Ah, pity.
I know what you had for supper tonight.
What did I have?
Steak and chips, a bit of Stilton cheese and 3 cans of bitter.
Oh, you're one of those gypsy fortune tellers with a crystal ball.
No.
You jolly well smelt my breath.
Oh, don't be so rude.
I've got you. Of course. What a clot I was. You work in the Royal Clarence, in the snack bar.
Well, aren't you ever so quick?
Well, I knew it all the time, of course. You're just pulling me lame.
Yana.
Oh, honestly. Don't think I'm the sort of chap who goes to the Pavilion Dance Hall to pick up girls, do you?
Well, what else do you go there for?
To dance.
Oh, I'd like to have seen you dancing with them other officers you came in with.
Well, we were expecting Ginger Rogers, Myrna O'Bron, and Loretta Young. But for some damn silly reason or other, they didn't turn up.
I'll bet.
Yep, so I looked around, and you were the only person in the room I knew, so I asked you if you'd dance with me.
You never recognized me at all.
Oh, you heard me when you talk like that.
It'd take a hatpin to hurt you. What do you do out at the aerodrome?
Fly aeroplanes.
Is that what those wings on your chest mean?
That's right, I carry those as spares.
Are you a squadron leader or something?
Yeah, or something. I'm a flying officer.
Have you shot down any Germans?
Well, they don't come near these parts, thank God. No, all we do is go over the sea and report what ships we catch sight of.
It must be awfully exciting.
We get bored to tears. Hey?
I should move on and go home now if I were you. Getting a bit late, isn't it?
Oh, I can't. Car's broken down. We're waiting here till a horse comes along to tow us home.
You don't suppose an air raid warden will swallow that one, do you?
Well, the lady did. It's good enough of her. It's good enough of you.
I should make him take you home now, miss.
I think you'd better go away and leave off following us.
No parking allowed in these common roads after blackout. We've got to keep them clear in case of fire engines and so on.
Oh, dear.
You can park in the station yard if you're going on all night.
Yes, well, I think he's got us there. Have to go.
He's got a nerve. It's nothing to do with him.
Oh, it's not worth a row. Besides, he's right.
I had a lovely evening.
I'm glad Ginger Rogers couldn't come. You dance much better.
Oh, you do talk soft.
Would you like to do it again?
All right.
What about tomorrow?
Same time at the pavilion.
Well, I'll have to shake off Loretta Young, but I can get rid of her, all right. I'll tell her I got chicken. Eh? Half past ten.
All right. Here we are. I told you it wasn't far, really.
Is this where I kiss you?
No, it is not.
Wrong now.
Oh. Be careful tomorrow when you go looking for ships.
You bet your sweet life I will. Careful, Chambers, they call me in the business.
Good night.
Good night.
Peterson. Sir?
Who was the last pilot out on patrol this morning?
Chambers, sir.
Did he see anything?
Well, nothing out of the ordinary, sir.
Damn. Didn't any of the pilots see the Lakenti?
The Lakenti?
Well, there's a blazing row going on about a ship called the Lakenti. She's been torpedoed somewhere off St. Catharines.
This morning?
This morning.
Is that what the Navy are raising hell about?
That's it. And this, unless I'm very much mistaken, is it? Yes?
Captain Burnaby on the line, sir.
All right, put him on.
Wing Commander Dickens?
Yes?
About the Lakenti.
Ah.
I have a signal from the trawler that's bringing the survivors in. The ship was definitely torpedoed 10 miles from St. Catharines, bearing 192.
They're quite sure it was a torpedo, are they?
Certainly. The track was seen. It happened at 10:05. The vessel disappeared at 10:17, leaving some wreckage and a boat which my trawler got at 11:18. Will you please tell me what reports you have from your aircraft?
So far, the reports to hand are negative.
So far? Have all your machines got back?
The last one has just come in.
Is his report negative, too?
Yes, the visibility was very bad.
This action took place in the area covered by your morning patrol. Do you mean that none of your aircraft saw anything at all?
Apparently not. The visibility was such that a machine could pass within a couple of miles and see nothing, you know.
I don't know any of the sort. My trawlers found the place all right.
Well, it's often clearer right down on the water.
I quite agree with you. That's exactly what I say whenever the usefulness of air patrol comes up in discussion. What organization have you got to ensure that your pilots do patrol the areas they're supposed to?
We'll get on better if we keep this civil, Captain Burnaby.
I'll be as civil as the facts permit. I have to make a report upon this matter to the Commander-in-Chief, and I want the facts.
Yes, I understand that.
I'm glad. So far, I know that a valuable ship has been torpedoed right under my nose. I know there are 13 survivors, and that nearly 100 people have been killed, including several women. I know that my trawler saved the 13 lives. I know that my applications for more trawlers have always been turned down because it was said that air patrol could do the work more efficiently. Now, have you got any more facts upon this matter that you can give me?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
All right, Wing Commander. I shall put in my report upon those lines. Ready.
Damn the blasted Navy.
We never got that signal, you know.
Huh?
No, I got it from Purvis in T-87. He flashed to me by lamp about 1 o'clock.
We ought to carry more life-saving equipment. I'd have got more of them if I'd had a couple of collie floats.
Well, couldn't the boats have got them?
There were only 2 proper seamen in the boat. They had their work cut out to keep her head to sea, of course. The ones in the water were just drifted away. It was a stinking bloody mess. I've never seen anything like it.
Much fuel oil about?
God, yes. They were covered with it, the ones that were in the water. Just choked with the bloody stuff. I'd have picked up a few more if it hadn't been for that.
I suppose they were practically gone when you got them.
Just floating in the life jackets, you know. To all intents and purposes, they were dead.
Bill, I don't understand why they only got one boat away. They weren't shelled, were they?
Not that I know of. We'd have heard it anyway. But she went down, still steaming ahead at about 6 or 7 knots, as far as I could make out from what they said. They never got her stopped to get the boats down.
She just went on till she went under.
That's right.
Oh, hell.
Who owned her?
I've got no idea.
Saunderson and Moore, I think. Sunderland. They had the Lakenti and the Glen Tay and the Glen Ormond.
I'm sorry, I've been listening to what you types have been saying. I heard you mention the Lakenti. I'm Coastal Command patrolman in your sector.
In an Anson?
Yeah, that's right. Tell me, was it a submarine? It
must have been. Too deep for a mine. Mm. There's 30 fathoms of water out there.
Did you see anything of the sound?
Not a smell of the basket. Did a spot of listening, but she'd been gone an hour. Nothing to go by.
She'd slip away 10 miles and then lie quiet on the bottom till nightfall. Ruddy thing might be anywhere.
Can't you get it when she surfaces?
Well, it's tricky. We've got a couple of drifters out there now on listening patrol.
Mm.
Just a chance they'll contact her in the dark.
What are you drinking?
Ah, let me see why you should. Oh, well, gin and it. Thanks.
Gin and it, please, miss.
Righter.
I was on the morning patrol,
you know. Were you now?
Hmm. Only my zone was to the east of you. Filthy visibility. Could hardly see your own ruddy aeroplane. I'm afraid the boy who had that zone missed the ship altogether. Ah.
Here's your gin.
Thank you.
I know. An aircraft flew near us twice while we were picking up the boat. We heard it, but we couldn't see it.
It's a wonder you came out at all in this sort of weather. Bill Stammers picked one of your Ansons out of the ocean on a day just like this about a month ago.
I know. Cheers.
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 A chap called Smithers was the pilot. Flew right in. He and the wireless operator just about ruined themselves.
A bit too cold for that sort of thing in this weather.
Yeah, you're dead right. Before December, it's not as cold as it might be.
No.
Could certainly do without all the rain. Well, thanks a lot for the drink.
Don't mention it.
Got to push off now. I've got a date. Anyway, I'll keep my eyes skinned for your little friend when I'm out tomorrow.
Yes, do. And if you see the bloody thing, give it everything you've got.
Okay, I'll do that. With your luck.
What else did you do today, Jerry?
Well, this in the shop.
What is it?
Well, kiss-proof, I hope, so the girl said. Shall I strike a match and see?
Silly.
Hey, what about yours?
My what?
Your lipstick. I've got to go back to the mess right and wash my face.
Mine comes off like anything. All the other officers will know what you've been doing.
I'll get cashiered.
What does that mean?
Sacked.
What? In the war? I'll wipe it off for you in a minute when you take me home.
When are you coming out with me again?
Well, you haven't asked me yet.
Tomorrow?
No, I can't. Uncle Ernie's in the Iron Duke. He's coming to see us tomorrow night. I said I'd be home early.
What about Thursday?
All right. Well, let me clean your face.
No, I better do that when I get you home. You never know. I might get dirty again. I'm on early patrol tomorrow, so I really ought to get just a modicum of sleep.
Filthy breakfast.
I know. Oh, fright we heroes have to pay for eventual victory, man.
Aye, well, with that cook, the price is too high.
Anything new?
Haven't you seen the Winco's latest?
No.
Oh, well, there it is in his board. Affects your zone, too, so you'd better copy it into your wee notebook.
Ah, where is it? No submarine, repeat, no submarine is to be attacked today, December 3rd. In the area SL between 1200 and 1500 hours. An area SM between 1400 and 1530, and an area TM between 1430 and nightfall. Airs Dickens, Wing Commander.
Well.
Yeah, it makes you think, eh?
What about the Lakenti? Let the ruddy thing get away. Just like them. Old Hitler makes rings round us.
Ah, love, could thou and I with fate conspire to grasp the sorry scheme of things entire, would we not shatter it to bits and then remould it nearer to the heart's desire?
Like hell we would.
Ah, here's Hooper. He looks a bit strained.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
Sergeant Hudson's gone to hospital. What about it?
Good job, too. You've been breeding influenza germs all over me for the last 2 days. Who can I have instead?
Nobody.
Well, that's a magnificent show, I must say. Am I supposed to go without a second pilot?
I don't know who there is to send with you. You?
But that means I've got to take the thing alone.
Send Corporal Jones with you, if you like.
No, thanks. I've got Corporal Lambert for the rear gun and the wireless operator. He can pass me up the charts.
Okay, Jerry. If you go on patrol alone this afternoon, I'll let to hear Sergeant Abel for tomorrow.
Better have a round of perky dye for it after mass.
Anyway, thank God it's better visibility today.
Yes.
Do you want any more Lakentis?
Well, sea might be stiff of Lakentis and submarines for all that matters to us. Not allowed to bomb the ruddy things till we see them.
Don't take it too much to heart, old boy. After all, the brass hats up top know what they're doing.
What time do you reckon we'll land, sir?
What's it now?
3:38, sir.
Yeah, about 4:15, then.
It's got probably overcast, hasn't it?
Yes. Not much future in this job. I'll take it down a bit. Fly about 1,600 feet just below Cloud City.
That's the best thing, sir. What do you make that out to be ahead, sir?
Where?
About 2 miles ahead, sort of. Lump.
2 miles in? My God. Lambert, it's a sub.
A submarine, skipper.
Yeah, it's a submarine, all right, going slowly in a northwesterly direction. Yes, it's a sub. Radio operator, submarine up at the surface about 2 miles dead ahead of us.
I've got her, skipper.
Where's that blasted notebook? Let's have a look. Radio SM up to 15:30, and it's now 15:39.
We're going into attack, sir. Just a minute.
We turned out to sea again at 15:27. That's 12 minutes on the new course since we turned, say 26 sea miles. Now, let's see. We're on chart. We're still in Area S. Area TM's a good 2 miles over to the west. This is it.
Captain to crew, we're going into attack.
Rear gunner all set, skipper.
Would you have it?
She's seen us. She's diving.
I'll drop my bombs on a turn and hope to hit her. Hold it. Identify her. There's a hydrovane coming up. It's grey. That's enough. Here we go.
Got her, skipper. Good show. That's for the Kenty. Better do another run just to make sure.
Submarine, my lad. Proper place for them, though.
Did you sink it, Cop?
Well, the ships are buried.
Did any other aircraft have an answer?
Well, I'm trying to tell you. The skipper sunk it, lads. Mr. Chambers. I didn't do nothing but fire the gun, and that's no ready use against a sub, is it?
Was it the one that sank the ship that was torpedoed yesterday?
Oh, can't tell. The skipper thinks it was, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Sure enough, Cooper, old boy, we doubted it.
Good and proper.
Did you sink it?
Sank it all right. Went right up on end. The bow was vertical.
Bloody good show. Did anyone else see it?
Well, there was a naval trawler about 3 miles away. I showed her where it happened, and I beat it back home to spread the glad tidings.
Come in. Good evening.
Evening, sir.
I understand, Chambers, that you sank a submarine on patrol this afternoon.
I attacked one, sir. I'm damn certain she sank all right.
This signal has just come in. I want you to read it, Chambers, out loud. Here you are.
From trawler T383. Submarine destroyed by Anson aircraft, 1541, area SMTM. Recovered floating... two British naval caps, one British naval jumper, two empty packets of British cigarettes. Returning to port immediately, position buoyed.
I'm afraid one of our own submarines is overdue. HMS Carinx isn't answering any signals. Yes?
Captain Burnaby on the line, sir. I'll put him on now.
I telephoned you gentlemen to meet me here because the sooner we get to the bottom of this afternoon's regrettable occurrence, the better for everyone concerned.
I agree.
Wing Commander Dickens, this is Lieutenant Commander Rutherford from Fort Blockhouse.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Now, this is Flying Officer Chambers.
Well, now, gentlemen, we're here to get at the facts. Before we decide what action we must take, Rutherford, will you tell us first what orders Carinx had?
She had orders to proceed here from Harwich, sir.
On the surface, I take it?
Oh, yes, yes. She wouldn't dive unless there was very good reason for it.
What about her scheduled route and times?
Well, this operation, I made out, is rather long. Anyway, she was due to pass from area SL to area SM at 1430, and from area SM to area TM at 1500. In the order for closing the areas against attack, I gave a half an hour margin each way on those times. She should have passed the gate between 1600 and 1615. If she was later than that, she'd have had to anchor in the roads.
I see. And this copy went to Coastal Command, hmm?
Yes, this is the sheet I received.
Flying Officer Chambers, you saw this before you went out on patrol?
I saw a shortened version of it on the notice board, sir.
I don't see how it could be made much shorter than it is.
Well, we left out the first two sentences for secrecy.
I see. Was the notice you saw intelligible to you, Mr. Chambers?
I understood that no attacks were to be made in certain areas at certain times.
You didn't know that one of our submarines was coming in then?
No, sir, I didn't know that.
No doubt the Court of Inquiry will go into that. Now, the signal from Trawler 383 gives 1541 hours as the time of attack in area SMTM.
It was definitely in area SM, sir.
If the submarine was in area SM, you were clearly within your rights in attacking, subject to reasonable care. In area TM, you could not attack at all.
No, sir, but she was in area SM, all right.
Well, the trawler buoyed the place, so we shall know before long what had actually happened. Now, Mr. Chambers, when did you see the submarine?
Well, I saw her first, sir, about 2 miles away. It was beginning to get dark. Couldn't make out any detail, just that there was a submarine there.
I take it then you never saw the letters on the conning tower at all?
No, sir, I didn't. I never bothered about them. Once I saw that there was no identification marking on the hydrovanes. I did look for them once, but there was smoke all round the conning tower.
Didn't you think it was worthwhile to make certain?
I was certain, sir. It never entered my head that it could be a British submarine. We're usually told when our own submarines are in the channel.
That's what I'd suppose.
I'm quite sure this one was a German. There was definitely nothing on the hydrovanes.
It was getting dark, wasn't it?
Well, there was enough light to see the colour of the paint.
Did you have one or two jumping wires?
You mean the wire that runs from bow to stern over the conning tower?
Yes, that's right. One or two.
I can't say. I can't say. I didn't notice.
One last question. What colour was this submarine that you sank? Was she light grey or dark grey?
She looked very much like any of our own submarines. About the same colour. Sort of medium grey. On top, that is. She was all rusty underneath.
She was what, rusty?
Yes, sir. When she put her nose up just before she sank, the bottom was black paint all streaked with rust.
Carinx was only docked 6 weeks ago, sir. She shouldn't have been rusty after 6 weeks.
Are you quite sure of that, Mr. Chambers?
She was definitely rusty underneath, sir.
May I raise a point, sir?
Certainly.
It seems Carinx didn't answer any signals after 1400 hours. So you must have been worried about her before 1541.
We thought it was a temporary wireless failure.
It's a point to remember, sir.
Certainly. I think there's no doubt that she was late on her schedule. It looks to me as if she'd had some accident or mechanical failure which delayed her and cut off the power from her wireless. Come in.
Where will you have all these things, sir? They're all over oil and water still.
Put them down here.
Right. There's two sodden packets of cigarettes. One seaman's jumper, British. One seaman's cap. Another seaman's cap, also British.
I can't see how they got so soaked in oil. It's funny. Looks as if they'd been blown into a fuel tank by the explosions.
Is this all there was, Mitchison?
All we could see. As soon as I saw these, I put a spar buoy down, right in the middle where the air was coming up.
What's the depth?
Oh, 50 to 60 fathoms at low springs.
God, we'll never get a diver down to them.
Well, gentlemen, I shan't keep you much longer. I shall report to the Commander-in-Chief, and he, of course, will order a court of inquiry to be convened. I don't know what your view is, Wing Commander, In my mind, there's no doubt that Carranx was sunk by this young gentleman with you, who does not seem to me to be sufficiently responsible to carry out the duties you entrust him with. A court of inquiry will settle where the blame should lie for the accident, whether with the captain of Carranx or with the pilot of your ensign. Is there anything else before we disperse, Wing Commander?
I don't think so. From what I've heard, I feel that the blame does not rest solely on Mr. Chambers for this accident. The other thing I'm sure you must know already, that we in the Air Force regret what has happened most deeply.
Thank you, Wing Commander.
I'd like to say one thing. I did make a mistake. I'm extremely sorry. Sometimes a bit difficult when you've got to act quickly.
No doubt, Mr. Chambers, but when you act quickly, you've got to be right.
Well, there it is. No use crying over spilled milk, as they always say.
Who would want to be a submariner with those clods and coastal command protecting you and yours? I can't see why they didn't send out divers, if they've really got the place.
Too deep, isn't it?
How deep can a diver go to, anyway?
300 feet's about the record.
I thought they went deeper than that.
Well, the truth of it is, they don't know where she is at all.
Oh, yes, they do.
You wouldn't be kidding, would you?
No, not Porky Thomas, one of the least inaccurate officers in the fleet.
Well, seriously, though, I sailed T-192 right through the place this morning. We sailed through the slick with the oil coming up. It was just off departure point.
Who was it now? Isn't Kitchener's drifter standing by in case anyone gets out of Carranx?
Not much ready over that now, is there?
Anyway, they opened the court of inquiry over in Blockhouse this afternoon.
Then someone's for the high jump.
Coastal Command on this occasion.
Well, me for grub. Anyone else coming?
Yes.
Well,
hang on a minute while I finish.
What's the matter with them all tonight? They all look as if they've lost a quid and found sixpence.
Well, didn't you hear?
Hear what?
The submarine's been sunk or something.
Yeah, well, Miriam is a war officer.
Yes, but this one was one of ours.
What?
Yes. Isn't it awful? One of our Air Force chaps bombed it by mistake. HMS Carranx.
You don't mean it.
Well, that's what they were saying just now. It's dreadful. Now, I can't understand how it could happen. Haven't they got markings to show they're English?
I think so.
Well, then. Hello, look who's here.
Hello, Mona. Half can, please. Bitter.
I'll get it.
Thank you. Look, Mona, I can't go dancing tonight.
Oh.
I'm frightfully sorry, but I can't make it.
So am I.
Is there any way we could go and have supper instead?
Oh, well, I suppose so, Jerry.
We'll have a talk with you.
Well, why can't we go dancing then?
I don't want to do that. Look, I'll tell you afterwards.
Jerry, you're not in any trouble, are you?
Oh, good Lord, no. What made you think that?
We could go to the Ace of Diamonds.
Okay. Where shall I meet you?
Well, you know the back entrance round in Clarence Lane?
Mm, I'll find it. What time?
10:05.
I'll be there. Bye.
Hey, what about your beer?
Oh, well, I'll scrub round it now. In a bit of a hurry.
Well.
Mona, sit you.
Jerry? I can't see you. It's ever so dark.
Yeah.
Well, aren't we going to the Ace of Diamonds?
Give us a kiss first.
A kiss?
Yeah, kiss. You've heard of them, haven't you?
Well, I thought we'd been Clark Gable tonight.
Look, Mona, there's something you ought to know about. Well, I mean, you might not want to come out with me when you know. So I better tell you straight away.
Whatever are you talking about?
Do you know anything about submarines?
Well, the Wavy Navy lads were talking about one in a bar tonight. It was one that was sunk. Carranx or something like that.
Mona, I sank it.
Oh, James. You poor thing. Now I know why you wanted to kiss me.
Yeah.
Was it an accident?
Sort of. You can understand now why I didn't want to go to the pavilion. In case people saw me.
But I said there was a court of inquiry on.
Yes, well, that's over.
Well, what happened?
I can recite the findings to you by heart.
Poor Jerry. Oh, my poor Jerry.
HMS Carranx was sunk with all hands at 1541 on December 3rd, 1939, by the action of an ensign aircraft of Coastal Command REF under the command of Flying Officer R. Chambers, REF. That sufficient care had not been exercised by Flying Officer Chambers in identifying the submarine before attack, and that no useful purpose would be served by attempting salvage operations before the conclusion of hostilities.
But they couldn't do anything to you for that, could they? I mean, it was an accident.
Can't they just? I won't be able to stay on here after this.
Oh. Will I send you away?
I'm going. I got in before they did.
I was to be transferred away from here to some other job. That's why I wanted to see you tonight. I'm going away.
When?
Tomorrow.
Where?
To Bomber Command. They don't mind you dropping bombs all over the place. Either I go to France or somewhere in the north of England.
You won't be around Portsmouth anymore?
Darling, look, that's what I'm trying to say. It's better to get away and make a new start somewhere else.
Yeah, I suppose it is. It's
been fun going out together, dancing. But for that, I should be glad to get away.
Jerry, I've loved going out with you.
You know, I told you I was making a galleon.
So you did.
Would you like it?
Oh, Jerry, I'd like it ever so. Oh,
good, I'll bring it round to your home tomorrow.
I'll be at home tomorrow afternoon.
Good. Poor thing about my own.
Jerry?
Yeah.
You never tell me where your home is.
Oh, didn't I? Well, I live at Market Stanton.
Well, where's that?
It's a little village on the Yorkshire Wold, about 10 miles from the North Sea. I'm going there on leave first to see my mother. The sooner I get away from Portsmouth and all these iron-jawed naval captains staring at me more in anger than in sorrow, the better.
Well, sir, that's the end of that.
Except for one thing. The Admiral wants us to draft the terms of the announcement to the press.
Yes. Let's get it over now.
An accidental explosion, I should think.
I think so.
Right. Something like this. The Admiralty regrets to announce that HMS Carinx, a submarine of the 1933 class, has been lost with all hands due to an accidental explosion while at sea. That'll do. It's true enough.
Yes. Oh, by the way, sir.
Yes, Rutherford?
You know we discussed the way those caps and the naval jumper were soaked in fuel oil.
Yes, strange that. I supposed in a mixture of oil and water, they'd take up the water in preference.
And I said I thought it was the other way about.
So you did, Rutherford?
Well, I tried an experiment in surface tension.
Oh?
Yes, sir. In that glass-stoppered bottle by the window, there are some bits of cloth floating in a mixture of oil and water.
And which do they take up?
Water.
Not oil. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, sir. There are several points about this thing I don't understand.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's all over now.
Except to see that it doesn't happen again.
I'll see to that if I have to put a naval officer in every aircraft of Kursk Command. It won't happen again with this particular pilot anyway. He leaves tomorrow to do his damage elsewhere.
Pass Mrs. Allen the milk, Roderick.
Hmm? Oh, sorry, Mother.
Roderick!
Why, I am sorry. Wretched cup just jumped out of my hand. I'll go and get a mop.
It's the war, you know.
I know, it's awful.
His nerves are terrible. But then it's only to be expected. Until he came up here, he was out flying every single day to protect the convoys, looking for submarines, you know.
I hope he sank some of the nasty things for us.
Of course he did, but they aren't allowed to say, you know. We can't get a thing out of him. Even about the new job he's got near here.
Come in. Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
Morning, sir.
I sent for you, officers, because I've been asked to supply a volunteer for special duties. And I don't know what the work is, except that it's some sort of testing to be carried out on Wellington's. Now, I want a volunteer, because I understand it's not quite so safe as, as flying over Germany, bombing the jetties with leaflets.
Can we have some sort of idea what kind of work it is, sir?
Well, not much, I'm afraid. About all I know is that it's out over the sea. Now, I picked you chaps because you've all had a good bit of experience over water, and because you're all adequate pilots on the Wellington.
Can you tell us what the establishment is, sir?
Oh, I don't think there is any establishment, Chambers.
Oh, I see.
The pilot who gets this job will be the first. He should be quite all right in that way.
Yeah, unless he falls in the drink.
Yes, unless he falls in the drink. Oh, I want to volunteer for this because I gather it's, a tricky sort of business. And I want to volunteer pretty quickly. What about you, Jackson?
I put in a month ago for a posting to a fighter squadron, sir.
Yeah, so you did. David?
Well, I'll go if I have to, sir, but I'd rather stay here.
I see. Well, Chambers?
I think I'd like to have a stab at it, sir.
Good man. Well, you others can go.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm sorry you're going, Chambers. You've done quite well here.
Thanks, sir.
I was going to send you as first pilot in command of a machine the next time we had a show.
Very nice of you to say that, sir.
Well, there it is. Now, you're to report to Titchfield Aerodrome at once, to the Marine Experimental Unit.
Titchfield?
Yes, it's somewhere down near Portsmouth.
Portsmouth? But I've just come from there, sir.
Have you? I thought you came from Coastal Command.
Yes, sir, I was at Emsworth Aerodrome.
What's the matter?
I didn't much want to go back to Portsmouth, sir, for personal reason.
Well, I'm afraid it's done now, Chambers. Is your reason very serious?
Well, I don't think so, sir.
Good. Oh, well, you better take off and get your new job, Chambers. I'm sure you'll do well in it. In wartime, we can't pick and choose our postings, you know. Anyway, I'm damn sure you'll find it interesting.
I'm sure I shall, sir.
And if you happen to have had a spot of trouble in Portsmouth in the past, don't worry over much. These things are quickly forgotten in war.
Oh, you man. I bet it's a dirty story.
I swear it isn't. It's a newspaper cutting.
Well, could be a dirty story still, couldn't it? Here are your gins.
Thanks, Mama.
Well, what is it you've got there?
Oh, share it to a murder, for heaven's sake. I told you, it's a newspaper cutting. My uncle in America sent it to me.
Oh, is it a bit from an American paper?
That's right. My uncle sent it. He lives in Norfolk, Virginia.
Well, what does it say?
Ah, read it to you, sweetheart. Ace wartime skipper saw British sink Nazi U-boat. Alex Jorgen, blue-eyed, red-haired captain of Dutch motor ship Heloise, told our reporter of hairbreadth escapes in England's blockade zone. And traversing English Channel on December the 3rd, said Dutch captain, we saw a U-boat sunk by British off departure point. Violent explosion about 2 miles inshore broke glasses in the steward's pantry. Then bow and stern of U-boat appeared separately before vanishing forever. Jorgen said British were as hot as Nazis in the war on neutral shipping.
These U-boat stories are a ruddy great lie anyway. No submarine was sunk in those parts till January.
Oh, but what about...
What about what?
Nothing. Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyway, much as I'd like to stand here naturally, I can't. Not with a room full of thirsty matelots to serve. I've got work to do even if you haven't.
Very well, Professor. If you can calibrate the circuit in the trial run, that's good enough. I don't see where the difficulty arises.
We can calibrate for any given frequency, Captain Burnaby. The difficulty lies in assessing the conditions as the aircraft nears the ship.
But as I understand it, every ship has its own frequency.
Yes, every ship of the same class has similar characteristics.
And the frequency is always the same? From month to month and year to year?
That is so. But of course it will be modulated by the direction of the ship relative to the meridian.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I'm a little out of my depth, you know. Oh,
may I butt in, sir?
Hmm.
The course corrector deals with that. The pilot sets the course of the target ship upon the dial, you remember.
Yes, I see that, Wing Commander.
But that's a relative correction, not an absolute one. It has no bearing on our difficulty.
You say, Professor, it's going to take 3 months to do these calculations.
Oh, at least, I'm afraid. It means that we've got to plot the influence round several known ships in three dimensions. From that, we can construct the diagrams for any other ship.
Suppose we haven't got the time for that. Suppose I tell you that this thing has got to be in service in 3 months' time from now. I understand there's no production difficulty.
It could be used in 3 months' time, sir. Deliveries will be starting in a week or two.
But we really must find out the conditions before we can make it work at all.
Can't we fly it over a known ship and explode off half a dozen of them, each with a different setting?
Surely we can bracket it like that.
I don't think you can go at it that way. You see, gentlemen, you have to have a bursting charge to free the satellites. You can't do it with a dummy.
I'm afraid I don't quite get that point.
Well, if in fact the frequency is lower than the setting, it probably won't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
If the frequency is high, then there's a danger that the bomb will go off in the aeroplane. Yeah. We can't take out the bursting charge, you see.
I can see that. I suppose that if the bomb exploded in the aeroplane, we'd lose both the machine and the pilot?
I'm afraid so, Captain.
But I don't think it need happen. We can go at this from the low-frequency end and work up gently.
Yes, that seems all right, so long as we go carefully.
I don't think we could possibly do that.
Why not?
Well, think of the risk.
Well, if we get it wrong, of course, we lose the aeroplane. But I don't see any reason why we should go wrong.
It seems to me that we'd be taking very great risks if we go at it that way.
Professor, Mr. Winston Churchill was talking to the Admiral about this yesterday. It's very important that this thing should be in service in the spring.
He wants three squadrons fitted with it.
We could do three squadrons all right, sir.
Time of war, Professor, one has to take certain risks.
If you go at it this way, we may have accidents.
I agree with you, Captain Burnaby. I think there's a case here for taking a bit of a chance.
Mm. The pilot must be very well instructed before anything is done.
Certainly. And we must have a good, steady pilot for the job.
We've already got one, sir. He's just come down from Market Stanton. I had a talk with him this morning. He's a good, reliable type who did well with his squadron up north.
Good. Well, the professor here will have to do whatever he can to safeguard the boy in case there should be an accident.
God, these sailor boys, they don't rush you off your feet. Drink like fishes.
Don't they just? They're almost kids, most of them.
Hey, what happened to that boy of yours, Mona? The one in the Air Force with the lovely smile.
I was up in Yorkshire.
He's not, you know.
Well, they're transferred.
What did you say?
I said he wasn't in Yorkshire.
No, but... Sherry! Whatever are you doing here?
I came in for half a can, darling.
Yeah, but what are you doing here?
I told you, buying half a can of beer.
Oh, you and your half can. Yeah. Are you just down here on holiday?
Oh, no fear, on a job. Old Beth.
Jerry, have you been?
Well, darling, I got rid of my ringworm, but my galloping thrombosis has been dropping me a wee bit. I don't think I've got very long to live.
Oh, you look like it. Jerry, are you back at Emsworth?
No. Titchfield now. Some damn silly scheme or other they wanted volunteers for.
Volunteers?
Well, you know how it is. You want a volunteer to go and make love to a lovely young barmaid down at the Royal Clarence in Portsmouth. What about you, Chambers? She's your type, exactly. Oh, and there'll be all sorts of other fun and games too, Chambers. I bet there will be. Anyway, I start with them tomorrow.
Oh, Jay.
It's quite all right, Chambers, so long as we go at it carefully. But it's a bit tricky, as you can see.
Well, I can see what has to be done, sir, but I'm afraid I don't understand it in the least. I don't see what makes the thing go off.
Ah. Do you think you could break it down into simple language, Professor Legg?
I think so.
Very well, then. I'll leave you to it.
First of all, do you know how a thermionic valve works?
More or less.
Well, no. Look here, my boy. I've been warned, ordered, I suppose, not to let you into this business. It's secret, damnably secret. Well, I'm going to take the responsibility. After all, you're flying the aeroplane.
True.
What does the gadget look like to you?
Well, rather like a very wizard new bombsight.
So it is, but a bombsight with a difference. This one controls the destroying agent you're using.
I see.
That's why it's so secret. And it's dangerous because part of that destructive agent remains in the aircraft.
I see.
I can tell you no more than that, I'm afraid. Well, there's the thermionic valve. Mm-hmm. That's the grid. Mm. Now, we begin these experiments with a battleship that the Royal Navy is laying on, I believe the term is.
Good Lord, sir. You realize we've been at it for 2 solid hours.
Yes, yes. I'm afraid I get carried away. You must forgive me.
Not at all. Anyway, Professor, I gather the milliameter's the thing I've got to watch.
You must watch it all the time. The modulator should maintain the current at about 25 milliamps. If it goes higher, you must throw this switch. This one here. That breaks the primary circuit.
Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, I suppose the count will go on rising until the thing goes off.
Yes, you must watch it very carefully. Throw your switch immediately.
Aha. Fun and games for everybody if I don't.
Oh, you young men. I've been thinking a good deal about this current rise, my boy. I had arranged with Wing Commander Hewitt to put the switch on the instrument panel just by your hand.
That's what this new thing on the panel is, I suppose, sir, isn't it?
Yes. Now, I think it would be better if we send up somebody with you to watch the milliameter and throw the switch immediately it starts to rise.
Oh, I don't think that'll
be... In fact, I think I'll come myself.
I don't see that that's necessary, sir. I've only got to throw the switch if it goes over 25, haven't I?
Yes, but I mean, you'll have your machine to fly, my boy. This thing will want watching very carefully indeed.
I'll put the aircraft onto the autopilot, and I shan't have anything to do except watch.
Just one thing, sir. Mm-hmm. How quickly will it go up, if it's going to go up, I mean?
Let me see now. For the battleship, I should expect it to go up at the rate of 10 milliamps in 3 seconds.
Oh, good heavens. Time to have a shave, shampoo, and right home. And it goes off at 40 milliamps.
Yes.
Mm. Well, that's 4.5 seconds. Money for old rope.
Nevertheless, I think another person in the machine would be a help.
Well, I'm damn sure he'd be a bloody nuisance.
Well, it's as you wish.
Well, there are two things I'd like. One's an armored seat, in case that bomb goes off bang under my backside. And the other is a beer before lunch. I've got very simple tastes, Professor. Just a can of beer and a young woman to take to the pictures. Look at that old bird, sir. Facing up and down in front of the Wimpy as though he's got bile, indigestion, and the cares of the world all at once.
Well?
I don't see what he's getting so worked up about. He's only got a watch.
And Professor Legg feels responsible for this test. He took it very badly when the Navy cut the time short, you know. Since then, he's been working long hours on his distribution curves.
He looks as though he's had a litter of them any minute.
Don't be irreverent. Here he comes.
All right, my boy. All the best.
Go out the blind tonight if this thing works out all right, Professor.
I have a blasted mortar, if it doesn't.
Well, good luck. We must go. We have to join the naval officers in the trawler.
Right. Well, I shall take off as arranged in 20 minutes' time. I hope all those little slide rules of yours are accurate, sir.
Give him the light.
Aye, aye, sir.
There's the red flare from the Wellington.
Yes, he's ready now.
Right. Now he's going for the battleship.
He's coming up.
Nearly over now. Nothing.
No.
Wretched thing won't work.
Give it a chance. It's banking.
Yes, he'll turn and fly over it again.
What do you think could have happened, Professor?
No idea, Captain Barnaby.
Well, the pilot's probably just been very careful.
Well, he's making his third run.
Yes, nearly there.
Coming up now.
Now.
Oh, it works! It works!
I do congratulate you most heartily, Professor Link.
Thank you, Captain.
And you too, Wing Commander Hughes.
Thank you, sir.
There wouldn't have been much left of it if that stuff had been fully loaded.
Oh, I don't know. I should think the multiple pom-poms would have got the aircraft.
Wing Commander, I'd very much like to see the installation and the machine.
Well, sir, it's rather late now. I dare say the pilot's had enough for one day.
I agree, but what about first thing tomorrow?
I'll drive you out to the aerodrome, sir.
Excellent. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. Besides, I'd like to have a word with the pilot.
I'll introduce him to you, sir. You'll like him.
Yeah, nothing like a hot cuppa after a good day's work.
You and your work. I believe you just play about at that aerodrome.
Have an old donut.
I'll finish.
Well, I will.
Honestly, what do you do all day?
I can tell you one thing I did yesterday.
What's that?
Made my will.
No kidding, Jerry.
Show it to you if you like.
I don't believe you. People don't make wills until they're about
to die. Can happen in wartime, you know.
Jerry, I didn't mean...
Well, I am got it with me, but I'll tell you what's in it. You like me to tell you?
Well, if you want to, Jerry.
I left everything to you.
What did you do that for?
Well, it's not enough to bother about. There's a couple of £100 in war loan that Aunt Molly left me, and the car.
But, Jerry, I don't want your money. Honest, I don't.
If you're not going to get it, I should be very upset if you do.
But what did you want to make a will for, anyway?
Well, somebody's got to have what I've got, in case I should get killed or anything.
So you thought you'd leave it all to me?
Mm-hmm. That's my smart girl.
Why me?
Because we had a fine time, Myrna, dear, ever since we met. Because you were so nice to me after I sank Karanks. You know, it did a lot for me then. I wanted to do something, if I could, to pay back what I owe you.
even if I was to do myself a bit of no good at the same time.
You don't want to talk like that, Jerry.
Yeah, well, all right, let's drop it. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about what happens if you live to be 90.
Hey.
You're trying to make out you owe me something. If you die, I get 200 quid in your car.
Well, don't forget my wireless set.
Yeah, but that's all if you're dead. What do I get if you live to be 90?
Well, I'll tell you. If this were peacetime and things were normal, I should want you to marry me, Mona. But I don't want that.
What do you want then, Jerry?
I want to go on as we are.
All right, then. But there's one thing I don't understand.
Yeah, me too, darling.
Well, all this about being killed.
Well, it does happen from time to time, you know, and even in the best conducted wars.
Is what you do at Titchfield very dangerous?
All kinds of things are dangerous in wartime. It's one of the penalties of being a hero. Not to fret, though. As a matter of fact, the most dangerous thing I've got on my plate tomorrow is meeting a few naval types who want to shake my palsied hand and have a look at my aeroplane.
Yesterday afternoon was a great success. Everyone was very pleased.
Ah, glad about that, sir. It seemed to go all right.
Oh, it went very well indeed. What was the matter on the first two runs?
Well, the first one, the milliameter went right up, sir. It went to somewhere between 32 and 36. It was jumping about a bit, so I switched off.
I see. What happened on the second run?
On the second run, it didn't work at all. The milliameter stuck at about 18. It never got over 20, and nothing happened.
That's bad. And the third time?
Third time, it went perfectly, sir. Didn't feel it go at all. I just saw the needle go back to zero.
Yes, it went perfectly. The Navy thought it was wonderful. But I don't think they liked it much.
I don't suppose they did. Hitler could give the silent service the heebie-jeebies if he had it.
Oh, there you two are. This is Flying Officer Chambers, the pilot, sir. Captain Burnaby.
Good morning, Mr. Chambers. Did you feel satisfied with the trial yesterday?
Yes, sir. I think it went all right, sir.
Do you feel competent to carry on and complete the series of trials?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have a word with you alone, Wing Commander Hewitt.
Very well, sir.
That was very odd of Captain Burnaby.
Yes, Professor. He's an odd man.
You knew him before?
Oh, yes. I sank one of his submarines last December.
You? You sank a submarine? British one?
That's right. I took it for a German. And I can imagine the grim joy with which he's telling Hewitt all the gory details at this very moment.
I can't think what postings were about, Captain Burnaby.
Nor can I, Wing Commander.
Still, there he is, and we must make the best of him.
I hope you don't propose these trials should continue in his hands. In our view, he's completely responsible.
I'll tell you what our view of that is tomorrow morning, sir.
The trial tomorrow must be cancelled.
We shall cancel it only if we find our pilot is unfit to do the work.
Do you consider him a fit pilot, then?
I must see my AOC. Yesterday, I thought him a very suitable pilot for the job, and I still do. His conduct of the trials to date has been both serious and competent.
I can't deny that. At the same time, the trials have only just begun. The Royal Navy very much object to going on with him. I need a drink, my dear. It's been a wretched day.
What happened, darling?
You remember that Air Force cub who sank Carranx?
Yes.
Well, the RAF has made him, of all people, pilot for these trials.
Oh, Fred, I am sorry.
Heaven only knows what makes them do these things.
Enough, Pink, dear.
Exactly, thank you. Where's Jim?
Out on his motorbike. It's repaired.
Repaired? What happened? I knew nothing about this.
He ran into the back of a milk cart during the holidays.
I can't go on paying out for that motorbike like this. If my son will have accidents, he'll have to pay for the repairs out of his allowance.
Oh, but it costs £6.15.
Jim's got no business running into milk carts.
Oh, don't be too hard on him, Fred.
I'm not being hard on him, my dear, but he's got to learn.
He is learning. You know, Fred, you are hard on young people.
I'm hard on young people. Hard on them?
You are rather, darling. After all, they are young, and they're learning. just as we had to do at their age.
Yes, sir?
Fort Blockhouse?
Putting you through, sir.
Fort Blockhouse, sir?
Duty officer.
Very good, sir. Duty officer?
Burnaby here.
Yes, sir?
I want you to ring up Air Commodore Hughes at Emsworth.
Yes, sir.
Present him with my compliments and tell him I've altered my decision. The Royal Navy is perfectly prepared to continue the secret trials with Flying Officer Chambers. Good night.
Did you get any of the crew
from the Jerry Silk? No. There was plenty of them in it, but they're all as dead as doornails.
What's everybody drinking? Sam again.
Yes, please.
Sam all round, please, Morlano.
Whiskey. Right.
Did you learn anything useful from the U-boatman?
Oh, I don't know about that. We went off on another salvage job.
Yes, the whiskey.
Oh, thanks. Thanks,
love. I only know there was one ruddy funny thing we found.
Oh, what was that?
Tell him about the torpedo tube, sir.
Well, there's only one tube. I went in at low tide to see if any of the tubes are loaded.
That was a grisly sort of job.
Yes, it was, rather. Well, cheers. Well, I opened the back door of all the tubes, and one of them was full of fuel oil.
Fuel oil?
Yes, I opened the door, and it came out all over my boots and everything.
Well, how did that stuff get into a torpedo tube? Well,
that's not all. What do you think came out with it?
An Esther Fieldmise and a tea cosy.
Most of a British ratings kit.
What?
In the oil? In the oil, in the torpedo tube. There was a hat, a couple of jumpers and a shirt, a pair of tags, and a lot of Portsmouth City Council tram tickets, if you please. Oh, all sorts of junk.
But how on earth did it all get there?
Oh, it's just one of Jerry's very special little tricks.
Is it? By gum.
They keep a tube full of fuel oil and British sailors' kit. If they get in a tight corner, they discharge the whole caboodle. Just blow the tube through with compressed air.
Nice people, aren't they?
We see a lot of oil and air come up, so we stop dropping our depth charges. And then, of course, when we see a British Matelot's cap floating in the oil, we get all hot and bothered and stop proceedings altogether.
And while you're all in a dither, Jerry just scuffers, eh?
Exactly.
How long have they been doing this?
God only knows. They've only just cottoned onto it, anyway. This one on the Goodwins was the first definite case we found of it. Oh, steady on, old girl. My nerves won't stand that sort of treatment, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's the third glass gone this evening, Mona. Mr. Harris, when I'll be cross.
I know.
Are you all right, miss? As white as a sheet. It was as if you'd just seen a ghost.
Well, perhaps I have. Well, a load of a ghost would be more like it. I'm sorry I startled you, boys. It's just I was thinking about something else. What was it that officer said about the slip? Well, you're all coming up. Porky something. Porky Thomas.
You sailed right through the slip with the oil coming up. It was just off departure point.
But it wasn't departure point at all.
It was just a departure point.
Oh, ask Jerry.
Departure point, darling. No fear. It was much more towards the island.
Somebody said something in a bar about submarine being sunk off departure point. James. Mouldy James off departure point. On exactly the same day, too.
Saw the U-boat sunk by the British off departure point. Departure point. No fear. It was much more towards the island.
That doesn't make sense. Oh, Jerry. Jerry. Oh, poor Jerry. 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 Oh! It was a different submarine.
There, girl. What's going on? What are you in such a tune about?
Who is it?
It's me, girl. Your dad.
Oh, Dad. Dad.
What is it? Been having a nightmare, eh?
Dad. Oh, Dad. Dad, you couldn't sink a submarine unless you knew it, could you?
Yeah, girl. What's all this? Who couldn't sink a submarine?
Dad, I mean, if a submarine got sunk, somebody know who'd done it, wouldn't they?
Oh, should do. Who's been talking to you?
Oh, no, nobody special. I was just dreaming.
You're making enough row about it.
Dad, it's just what I heard in the bar.
Ah.
There was one sunk, and no one seems to know who sunk it.
Sunk in the channel? These parts?
Off departure point, they were saying.
Off departure point? Well, girl, the only thing would be if it had been sunk by another German submarine, by mistake, like. Nobody would know then who'd done it.
No, Dad. I don't think that makes sense. Oh, it doesn't matter. But I was only wondering because they was all talking about it.
Well, that's the only way I knows that it could happen without anybody knowing.
No, it wasn't Carrick's after all.
What's that?
No, nothing really, Dad.
Oh, come on, girl, out with it.
Dad, do you know Jerry?
Jerry who?
Flying Officer Chambers.
Well, the bloke what takes you dancing.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, seen him once.
Well, he sunk a British submarine with bombs when he was on patrol.
What? Yeah.
That's what the Court of Inquiry said, but it's all wrong, Dad. Honest it is.
Let's get this right. What is it you say he did?
He sunk a submarine called Carrick. Only he didn't. The Navy had it in for him. And you ought to know, Dad, what the Navy's like when it's got an idea in it, Dad.
This seems to mean, then, Professor Legg, that we're practically home.
I think we shall be very near that stage, but only as regards the battleship, you know.
But as regards the battleship alone, we're very nearly ready for service use?
I think that is so.
I must congratulate you, Professor.
Thank you. The cruiser is a different problem altogether.
Which we are here at this moment to solve.
Yes.
Here's the pilot, sir.
Good. Hello, Chambers.
It works all right on a cruiser at the second shot, sir. They're loading up now for the trial this afternoon.
Any idea, my boy, why it didn't work the first time?
None at all that I could see, sir. As a matter of fact, it didn't go a bit as you said.
No?
You said the current on the milliameter would go up suddenly in 2.5 seconds.
Yes, I was worried about that.
Well, it just went creeping up very slowly. Much slower than the battleship. It must have taken 7 or 8 seconds. I switched off when it got to 36.
That's bad. I don't understand it.
Yes, sir. Went up very slowly.
Mr. Chambers.
Sir?
Are you, in view of this, prepared to continue with the trial this afternoon?
Continue? Of course, sir.
Good man.
And he's down here again now, Dad, at Titchfield Aerodrome this time.
I see.
Well, what ought I to do? I mean, Dad, someone ought to know about it.
Well, in a ship, the officer of the watch would be the one to tell. But with this, well, I don't know, I'm sure. It's not as though you know anything, really. It's just what you suppose.
No, I don't see that, Dad. It seems to me it's the only way it could have happened. That court of inquiry never saw Porky Thomas or Mulder James or anyone. They never even knew about the clothes in the torpedo tube, because that's only just been found out.
Well, girl, I don't know what to say.
Well, if you can't help me, Dad, I shall have to find somebody who can. Oh, poor Jerry. He needs all the help anyone can give him, and I'm going to see that he gets it, Dad.
Well, Professor, now for the cruiser.
Yes. That pilot of ours, Captain Burnaby, he's a very gallant young man.
I agree.
They're an extraordinary race, aren't they, these airmen?
Why do you say that?
Well, before he took off this morning, one of his friends strolled up and said, bloody nice day for a walk. Going to flirt with death again.
It's it's their special language. Their defense mechanism.
Yes, I suppose it is. Even so.
Here comes the Wellington on its first run.
Trawler seems a bit near the cruiser. Close rapidly and circle at 1,000 feet. Ah, all this lamp flashing from a bridge. This is it. Half of the run. Switch on power to the apparatus. Main switch. Pull over the safety switch. Milliameter. Showing 16 or 17. About normal at the beginning of the run. Check direction of cruiser. Rudder slightly to maintain course. Milliameter. 18. Funny. Not rising as it should. Correct course again. Milliameter. Where the... God, the needle isn't there. Yes, at 50. Switch. No, no.
you in to see the commander. Don't let him frighten you. No, I won't.
Harry? My name is Sutton. How do you do, Miss Stevens?
How do you do?
Would you sit down? A cigarette?
No, thank you.
Well, now, what's this all about?
At lunchtime today, sir, Miss Stevens approached me. It's about the Carrings accident. She, Miss Stevens, thinks another submarine was sunk on that same afternoon off Departure Point, and that one was really Carrings.
Good heavens. What makes you think that, Miss Stevens?
Well, it's like this. I work in the Royal Clarence in the snack bar.
I know you do. You served me there.
Yes, sir. And you know how people get talking of an evening over a few beers when they meet old friends? Not but what they're very careful, even when they forget about the girl behind the bar.
Yes.
We get to hear of such a lot of things you can't imagine.
I think I can.
Well, the day after Garanx was sunk, all the naval officers, the young ones I mean, well, they seemed to know all about it. And they was arguing where it happened. And somebody said that somebody called Raxon. I told him that it was off Departure Point. In Area SL, I think it was.
Rugson, eh? Departure Point is in Area SL.
That's what they said. And they said that an officer called Porky Thomas had sailed through a lot of oil coming up from the bottom just off Departure Point. And I heard him too, sir.
This was the same day?
No, sir. That was the next morning after Carrax had been sunk.
I see. It's, well, it's a bit second-hand, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway, sir, I didn't think nothing of it at all until I saw in a newspaper that an officer called Mulder James had... I'm terribly sorry. I don't know their proper name. Porky Thomas and Mulder James. I only know what their friends call them.
That's all right. Do you know if they were RN or RNR?
RNVR they were. Both of them.
And what was this in the newspaper?
Well, it was an American newspaper. Just a cutting, you know. And it said that the captain of a Dutch ship had seen a submarine sunk in the channel off Departure Point. And it was on December the 3rd, the paper said. And that was the day that Carrings was sunk, wasn't it?
You seem to know a great deal about Carrings, Miss Stevens. Yes, that was the day.
Yeah, well, it's another thing in the paper. It said that the submarine broke in two bits, with the bow and the stern showing at the same time, like. But Carrings didn't do that. She went down upright with only the bow showing.
Yes, so she did. You know, young lady, you're beginning to surprise me a bit.
Well, that's what made me think there must have been two of them, you see?
Yes.
And then only the night before last, there were some officers from a salvage ship in the bar talking about the submarine. And they said that the Germans carry British sailors' clothes in their torpedo tubes sometimes, and they fire them out to make us think we're attacking a British submarine.
What?
That's what he said, yes. So then I got to wondering which of them was which. And if it really was the English one that you... that our people sank. So then I came and saw Miss Hancock when she was pointed out to me in the bar.
Well, Miss Stevens, it's been very good of you to come and put this up to us. Very public-spirited indeed. Now, I'm going to ask you to wait in Miss Hancock's office for about half an hour while I see if I can get hold of these people. Then we'll have another talk.
Oh, I don't mind waiting. It's my afternoon off.
Oh, good. Goodbye, Miss Stevens.
Goodbye, sir.
Miss Hancock, I want the file on Carrings, the Court of Inquiry, at once.
Very good, sir.
And I don't want that young woman to leave the building under any circumstances whatever. Better put a signalman at the foot of the stairs.
Well, Miss Stevens, it isn't often that a young lady comes into this office and gives me, as Commander-in-Chief, as clear and succinct a story as you've done.
Thank you, sir.
This officer is Captain Burnaby.
How do you do, Miss Stevens?
Pleased to meet you.
Please sit down. Oh,
thank you.
Miss Stevens, Captain Burnaby and I have listened very carefully to what you've had to say. And there's one question we'd like to ask you.
Yes, sir?
Burnaby?
I'm afraid it's rather a personal question, Miss Stevens.
Oh, I don't mind.
Are you engaged or going about a lot with anybody in particular? You needn't answer it if you don't want to.
Well, sort of engaged.
He's in the Air Force, isn't he? Is he a pilot?
Yes.
Is he the pilot who sank Carax?
No, he never did. You and your precious court of inquiry tried to make out he did, but it's all wrong.
We only want to get to the bottom of the thing, Miss Stevens. We can't do that if you hold out on the essential fact. But we don't know where we are then at all. Look, tell me the whole of it. First of all, what's his name?
Chambers. Jerry Chambers. Oh, no, I don't mean that. I mean Roderick Chambers. He's a flying officer.
And you're engaged to him, are you?
Well, no, not properly. Sort of half and half.
And I suppose that when he was in trouble over Carax, he told you all about it.
Yeah, well, he had to tell somebody. Who else was there for him to talk to? You was all against him.
We're not blaming him or you, or anybody for that matter. We're trying to help.
Well, Miss Stevens, that clears up everything.
Except...
My
dear, I'm afraid we have bad news.
Evening, sister. Got a new accident case, I see.
Yes, we have.
Who is he?
A young pilot. Been up to some daftful trick, no doubt.
Bad?
He's bad, all right. And if you ask me, Dr. Foster's out to make him worse. I doubt he'll die before the morning.
Bad as that?
Aye. Two ribs and the right thigh. Maybe the pelvis, too. And burns on both hands and arms.
Shock, of course. I see he's had strychnine.
Aye. A heavy dose. Did you ever hear the like? The laddie comes in here, conscious and excited, and they give him strychnine. And chattering, fit to beat the band he was.
Chattering?
Aye. And the language. My God, the blasphemous young rascal kept saying, we've been a pack of bloody fools. It's so easy, he says. Such a simple little trick. It would have taken all the risk out of the trials and saved my life. I'll damn well live, he says, until I've told the professor.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. And the professor's closeted with him at this very minute.
What, with a man dying?
Yes, and there the laddie is, talking away 18 to the dozen about engineering and the Lord knows what.
Not so loud, sister. Here comes someone who looks like your professor now.
And about time, too. Well, Professor, I'm glad to see you've decided to leave him alone at last. I hope you'll go away now.
Don't worry, sister. I've got it all now.
And it's overjoyed I am that you have.
What are his chances?
One half of what they were before your visit. And that's the truth I'm telling you.
Yes, he's a very brave young man. A very gallant boy indeed.
Well, now that you've finished badgering the poor soul, I'm going to give him his morphia injection.
Yes, give him that. If any man on earth deserves its lifting of pain, he does.
I cannot understand is that you order me into Weymouth when I already have a navy, sir, and when therefore no examination is necessary.
Captain Jorgen, may I introduce myself? Commander Rutherford.
So? You are also of the British Contraband Control?
I belong to another branch of the service.
So? And what is it then that you wish with me?
Would you take a look at this newspaper cutting, Captain? And tell me if you've ever seen it before.
Let me see. Yeah. I have this in my book also. My book of cuttings, you understand. It comes from a newspaper in Norfolk in America.
That's quite correct, Captain. Now, tell me, is this account of the submarine correct? Did you really see a submarine destroyed like this?
Yeah, truly. I have written it in the log.
My business is with submarines, Captain. We are very anxious to find out all we can about that particular sinking. May I see your log?
With pleasure. You are able to read Dutch?
I'm afraid not.
No, never mind. I shall translate. There, the date.
Yes.
December the 3rd.
Yes.
There, the time. 14:15. Strong detonation. Distance 2 miles on starboard side with indication of wrecked submarine. See moderate. Departure point bears north 36 degrees west.
That's the bearing of the ship, I take it, not the submarine.
Here's the chart. That is our course.
Yes.
That is the position of the ship. There, the detonation.
I'll take that position down. Thank you, Captain. Now, what exactly did you mean in your log by indication of wrecked submarine? Did you see the submarine before the explosion?
I did not see because of the rain.
I understand.
Then passed the squall, and at once we hear the explosion. It rattles the whole ship very strong. We look, and we see a very big tower of water. Mm-hmm. And then we see the two ends of the submarine, both at the same time above the water.
Did you see the ship that sank, huh?
There was no ship at all. Not one in sight.
What did you think made the explosion, then?
Commander, how should I know? How should I tell what made the explosion? You know everything already about it.
Not quite everything, Captain, but thanks to you a great deal more than we did.
I have been of help.
More than you know, Captain.
But to your British Admiralty?
To them. And to one young British officer in particular.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, darling. You're looking very nice today.
I bought you some grapes.
Oh, is it?
How are you feeling?
Okay. I certainly hurt like hell when I do my arms.
Oh, must do. Still, you are looking better.
Good. Do you like my screaming orange pajamas?
They're very cheerful.
Ah, that's fine. You're going to see a lot of them.
If you start talking like that, I'll go away.
I nearly did, didn't I?
Did what?
Went away. For keeps.
Yes, Jerry, you nearly did.
Oh, well. Better luck next time.
Don't talk like that.
I was only pulling your leg. You know that.
Jerry.
Hmm?
One thing I do know, they're ever so pleased about what you did when you had this accident.
Oh, are they really? How'd you hear that?
Well, there was a Commander Sutton talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to know he was friends.
Oh, they really think it was a good show, then.
Oh, they do, Jerry, honest. They think you've done terribly well.
Wow, that's something to set off against Carracks.
They're beginning to worry about Carracks now, Jerry.
Huh?
Commander Sutton was saying there was another submarine sunk in the channel that day.
I see. By heck. Do you mean... Oof. Do you mean they think there was a chance that the one I sank wasn't Carracks?
Something like that.
Oh, damn it. I always knew that ruddy thing was a German.
Well, all I know, Jerry, is they're looking into it again.
I don't much like hanging about like this. A sitting duck for any U-boat to take a pot shot at.
Well, Dad has a great deal to do. I told him he's got to be certain.
Now look, Commander Rutherford, I wonder if you'd mind putting me in the picture.
Yes, of course. Well, we know something's down there. We think it's a submarine. We want to establish if it is.
To see if it's Carracks.
To see if it is Carracks.
And if it is Carracks, then the one that was buoyed in December, that Coastal Command sank, then that's a German.
Exactly.
I see.
Twitch is on the hook rope, sir.
Oh, good. He'll be coming up, then.
More likely Charlie and there's some bits and pieces up first, sir.
I hope so.
Quite a bundle on the end, sir, by the feel of it.
The more the merrier.
Here she comes.
Right. Open up the bag.
Aye, sir.
One broken plate.
Yes. Engraved starboard center in English.
And one pair of Ross binoculars. Ross hand wheel, also engraved in the English language.
Double-ended spanner marked in inch measurements. Oh, there's not much doubt about that, is there?
No doubt at all.
Darver coming aboard, sir.
Unscrew the front window and remove his helmet.
Aye, sir.
Well, it's a submarine, all right, sir. One of ours, too. See them words in English on the hand wheel?
Yes, I saw that. Is she very much damaged?
Yeah, she copped a package, sir.
Well, how do you think she was damaged?
I reckon she got torpedoed.
Why do you think that? It might have been a mine.
It didn't look like any mine I've ever seen, sir. It was more local, if you take me, more like a torpedo does. As a matter of fact, I did think I saw the tail of a torpedo crushed up underneath the aft part of the break.
Did you see her name?
It was painted over, sir.
Yes, of course, of course.
But the letters were raised, and I ran my hands over them.
Well?
Telling, sir.
Thank you. You can pack up your gear.
Aye, aye, sir.
I wonder if you've got a prayer book on board, Harrisonby. Better read the service for these poor devils before getting underway.
Now, Rutherford, your report.
Well, no doubt at all, sir. The submarine off departure points Kallax, all right.
Was the other submarine really sunk? It has been established, has it, that she didn't get away?
We had a sweep yesterday, sir. There's definitely a ship at the bottom there, but it's too deep to get a diver down to her. I think there can be very little doubt that she's the submarine that Flying Officer Chambers sank.
I see. Well, as you would reconstruct the matter then, Kerangs was proceeding towards Portsmouth at 2:15 in the afternoon in a squall of rain. On the surface?
Oh, certainly on the surface, I should say, sir. She sent a wireless signal at 1403.
Yes, on the surface. As the squall passed, she was sighted by a German, which unfortunately was in a position to torpedo her, and did so.
That, I'm afraid, is what happened.
The supposition is that after that, the German took up the course that Kerangs had been steering on for Portsmouth, and that he ran upon the surface as Kerangs had been doing. He took a very bold course if he did that.
Well, I think he was probably a very bold man, sir.
He was doing his best to behave exactly as Kerangs would have done. In an attempt to get right close into the gate.
Might have done a lot of damage if he'd pulled it off.
Yes, unfortunately for him, he was late on schedule.
It's a bit of luck, sir, that Air Force pilot got him.
Wasn't it? Well, I'm glad we've been able to clear it up. Any other points anyone has to raise?
As a matter of form, sir, the Court of Inquiry ought to be recalled to reconsider its findings.
Oh, I shouldn't waste much effort over that now, Burnaby. It affects nothing now.
The essential of the pilot in their findings, sir, I think that should be rectified with as little delay as possible.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. Well, you'd better get that done at once. We owe rather a lot to that young man.
First of all, he gets a strip torn off the sinking Kallax, when what he did was really to save our bacon for us, and then we go and blow him up in Burnaby's devilish experiments.
We might consider that as well now, if you like, sir.
Yes, he seems to have deserved well of us on two counts.
How's he getting along, by the way?
He'll be flying again in 6 months.
For the submarine, he deserves a mention in dispatches. Everyone agreed?
Oh, yes, yes, agreed, sir.
For the experimental work, I take it that we owe him a great deal. That is so, isn't it?
That is correct, sir. The RQ apparatus will be ready for service in a month from now. That's very largely due to the risks he took.
Hasn't the Air Force got a special medal for that sort of thing?
Yes, the Air Force Cross, sir.
Well, that would seem to cover it.
Well, isn't that a matter for the Air Force, sir? It's their decoration.
Oh, I don't agree with you at all. This was a naval trial. The Air Force supplied the aircraft and the pilot. Apart from that, they had nothing whatever to do with it. The matter of a decoration was entirely in our hands. I quite agree that this gallant young man who I was largely instrumental in... I quite agree he should have the Air Force Cross. And I suggest, sir, that as Commander-in-Chief, you should make a recommendation in these terms to the Air Ministry.
Well, Mrs. Chambers...
Can you see the lamp still, Jerry? I can't, no.
I think we've seen the last of it.
How long shall we be away in Canada, do you think?
Well, for all I know, a war like this, we might stay there forever. Would you mind a lot if it turned out like that?
Oh, I don't mind. When you start fresh, about getting married, I don't know that it makes a lot of difference if you change your place as well.
No. Doesn't. We shan't see any more now. Let's go below.
So let them pass. Small people of no great significance, caught up and swept together like dead leaves in the great whirlwind of war. Wars come, and all the world is shattered by their blast. But through it all, young people meet and marry. Life goes on. Though temples rock and the tall buildings start and crumble in the dust of their destruction.
In Landfall, adapted by Stephen Grenfell from the novel by Neville Shute, the part of Jerry was taken by Jeffrey Matthews. The rest of the cast was as follows: Mona, Penelope Lee; Wing Commander Dickens, Frederick Treves; Captain Burnaby, Rafe Truman; Matheson, Gabriel Wolfe; Flight Lieutenant Hooper, Gordon Faith; Radio Operator, Glyn Dearman; Commander Rutherford, Kenneth Hyde; Trawler Commander, Kevin Flood; Air Force CO, Norman Claridge; Wing Commander Hewitt, Gerard Green; Professor Legg, Hamilton Dice; Mrs. Burnaby, Olga Lindo; Mona's father, John Boxer; Commander Sutton, Alan Haynes; Admiral William Fox; Nurse Mackenzie, Dorothy Smith; Nurse Loring, Margaret Wolfitt; Captain Jorgen, George Hagen; Airman, Wesley Murphy. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Betty Davis.